contest. It's underway right now in Thailand. I'm Jody Jordan for IRN USA Radio News.
And the voice of the foot here, 950K high.
Welcome to Medically Speaking, Auburn's own medical radio show with host Dr. Mark Vaughn of the Auburn Medical Group and Larry Finney.
Okay, we are back again this week on, what's the date? October 1st. It's a new month. We're excited to be here. We're excited to do Medically Speaking live. Here we are. I'm Dr. Mark Vaughn.
And I'm Larry Finney. He's the doctor. I'm not, despite what Coach Roz might seem to think.
Coach Roz is just stuck on the guy with the afro used to be a doctor. No. The guy who's a doctor used to be an afro. No. How's that work?
The bald guy used to have an afro.
That's it. Okay. I heard it on the radio as I was driving in. Let's introduce our other guests in the studio with us this week. We also have Dr. Ron Roberry, a pathologist with Diagnostic Pathology Medical Group here in the area. Did I get the name right?
You sure did. Thanks.
And we also have our announcer who does our disclaimer for us.
Karen Donahue, who will now do the much-anticipated disclaimer. Standing by.
Here we go.
The content of this website and the Medically Speaking radio show are meant for entertainment and for general information purposes. No doctor-patient relationship is attempted or implied through the show or the website. Any medical advice, home remedies, and all other medical information on this website or radio show should not be treated as a substitute for the medical advice of your own doctor. Do not attempt any treatment mentioned on the website or the show without consulting your doctor. Always consult your own doctor if you are in any way concerned about your health. If you need a doctor and live near Placer County, call Jen at 530-886-8630. If you have a medical emergency, call 911. Medically Speaking Radio, Dr. Mark Vaughn, Auburn Medical Group, K-High Radio, and or our sponsors are not responsible for any diagnosis or treatment made by anyone based on any of the content of this website or the Medically Speaking radio show. In addition, the views and opinions expressed on the show or on linked websites are not necessarily those of Dr. Mark Vaughn, K-High Radio, the Auburn Medical Group Incorporated, or any of the show sponsors.
And that goes for the playmakers, too.
Yeah, we want to make sure they're protected.
Right.
Okay, I have something exciting to say. Okay, you guys remember last week we started the live streaming video through our website?
I remember.
Okay.
And we had one viewer, and that was us.
That was this computer down here that was monitoring it. Look at it right now. Look right here.
It says we have five viewers.
Five viewers are watching us. There they are. Wave at them.
Wait, you can see them?
The camera's right here.
Oh.
Well, they can see us.
Hi.
So, see, I told you somebody's watching the show. Okay. What we're going to do this week, we're going to go over a little bit of news, talk about stuff going on in the world of healthcare, both in Auburn and around the world. And then we're going to have an interview on the healthcare debate with our District 4 U.S. Congressman Tom McClintock.
And not only that, but we have a whole bunch of Oakland A's tickets to give away.
Oh, yes. And we have a reason to give them away because...
Well, those of you who are our loyal listeners know what the secret word is, or some of you might. I have... Here are your choices of goodies. We have games, and this is four tickets for each of these games. Tomorrow, August 2nd, we also have Monday, August 3rd, Tuesday the 4th, Wednesday the 5th, and Thursday the 6th. With respect to the first, it's tomorrow's games is Toronto Blue Jays. All of the other games are against the Texas Rangers. So,
okay. So we had a secret word. It was two shows back, I believe, 2 weeks ago.
It was a long time ago, but
Larry said a secret word. We need somebody to call in who remembers the secret word. The phone number is 885-3565. If you want those tickets and you remember the secret word. And you don't even have to have listened to that show to be able to get the secret word. You just have to be resourceful. So listen closely to what we're saying. You can see our video cast right now live at medicallyspeakingradio.com. Also at medicallyspeakingradio.com, you can find a connection to our Facebook fan page. Now, I have already given everybody enough information to be able to call in to get those tickets. And you get to choose which day you want. Are we giving away the August 2nd?
I think we are.
Okay, so the 2nd through the 6th.
Right, and we also have some hats. We have a call from Ann.
Okay. Is Ann calling about the answer to the secret word? Okay.
Go ahead, Ann.
Are you on there?
Say the magic words. Win $100.
Hello, Ann.
Hi.
Welcome to the Medically Speaking Radio Show.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, really. Do you know the answer to the secret word?
Well, is it medicallyspeakingradio.com?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I am sorry, Ann. We are so glad to have you call in, but we're sorry. But which day would you want anyway?
Thursday.
You want 4 tickets to see the A's play the Texas Rangers on Thursday?
Yes.
You got it.
Well, but she didn't say the secret word.
I'm hoping the next person will.
Okay. Okay.
We and have to get rid of a lot of tickets.
Okay. And for being the first caller and just being a good sport, yeah, you got these. So drop on by the studio here, and Trevor will have them for you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Ann. Okay. So if you guys want to keep calling, we'll look out for the secret word. We have just only about 4 minutes to go over all the news here, so we're going to have to really put this together here quickly. I need to do, as usual, my H1N1 update. Dr. Roberry, you can chime in on this anytime you want. The CDC has put out what groups they think are especially at risk, and they really want to make sure get vaccinated. But they're not saying this in such a way as to say if you're not in this group, don't get the H1N1 flu vaccine. They're just saying if you are in this group, really make sure you do. Okay, this group includes pregnant women, household contacts and caregivers for children younger than 6 months of age, healthcare and emergency medical services personnel. Hey, I get it. I get to get the shot.
So it's like women and children first. This is like the Titanic. Women and children first, right? That's how this works?
Like that guy that's pushing all the women and children so you can get on the boat.
Well, get to the bad news. Us old folks got to go last.
You're not that old. Okay.
You're expendable.
I'm expendable.
That's a pathologist speaking. Okay, all people from 6 months through 24 years of age. Now, that seems very strange. Why are we saying 6 months to 24 years of age? Well, because those people seem to be quite vulnerable to this particular type of flu. Okay, that was 6 months through 24 years of age. And then persons aged 25 through 64 who have health conditions associated with a higher risk of medical complications from influenza. So who's missing? Did anybody keep track in their head who's missing there?
Where does it say me?
Yeah. Well, no, you're in that group.
Okay.
No, well, if you have some kind of health condition, I'll leave that between you and your doctor, because we don't imply a doctor-patient relationship on the show.
That's right.
Okay, here's who's missing. Babies under 6 months old, we're not vaccinating them, and that has to do with the vaccine and babies. The other group is 65 and over, and the reason is because the risk among persons age 65 and older is less than the risk for people in younger age groups with this particular type of influenza. And then here's another thing. This came out too. The regular flu shot is, at this point, looking like it's going to be separate from the H1N1 flu shot.
So we could get poked twice.
Hold on. But wait, that's not all. You also get possibly a second H1N1 shot because it's so new. And nobody around these days has had something similar enough to it that you have to get 2 shots for it to be effective.
Oh.
So it may be possible that people are getting 3 flu shots this season to be protected against regular seasonal flu and the H1N1 flu.
Oh, hating needles as I do, I may just take my chances with the flu.
3 shots, that's a lot.
It is. Depends on 3 shots of what? What?
Referring back to the Shanghai elbow there, I guess.
I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Yeah.
Okay. What else do we have in the news? Obesity surgery death rates are low, study finds. That's a study that was in the New England Journal of Medicine that came out this week, July 30th. They have these neat names for when they do these studies. They come up with these acronyms. What are some of your favorite acronyms for studies there, Dr. Roberry?
Oh, I'm not a big study person. I couldn't give you one right now.
Okay. But here's one. The Perioperative Safety in the Longitudinal Assessment of Bariatric Surgery. The PS Labs. And what they found was that people weren't dying so much from the bariatric surgery as they used to. The overall 30-day risk of death, which I'm a little disappointed that they only want you to live for 30 days after they do the procedure. I kind of wish they had a little bit longer follow-up on their study.
After 30 days, the death is on something else. Right? We will blame someone else or something else for that.
That's what the authors of this study are saying. 30-day death rate from these surgeries when they studied him was 0.3%, which is a lot less than it was just 20 years ago. And that's not only because of advances in the bariatric surgery, the surgeries for people to lose weight. It's also because of great advances in anesthesiology. I did a little bit of background research on this because I was wondering, well, what is it for people who have, who are obese anyway? People with a BMI over 30, say. And I found that their mortality rate, you know, the expectation that one of them will die in the ages of 30 to 65 is a little bit less than 1%. And so with this surgery, 30 days was 0.3%. So we're mixing apples and oranges there to say if the surgery is better or not. We'll talk about that more when we get Dr. Jenkins of the Sierra Bariatric Surgery to talk about that, if we can get him on the show. Okay, we need to be jumping right into our interview because time is short. We're going to be coming back after this break, and you'll be hearing us interview Congressman Tom McClintock. Since 1966, Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital has been providing award-winning care to members of the community, to people just like you. The tradition of excellence continues today with our comprehensive family birth center, cancer services, 24-hour emergency care, and a whole range of outpatient services with convenient hours and locations to serve you.
In addition, we've been recognized for excellence in managing heart attacks, heart failure, pneumonia, and surgical care. We are one of a select few hospitals in the state to earn recognition from VHA's West Coast region for sustained outstanding clinical performance.
To learn more about Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, visit us on the web at sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio. That's sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio.
Sutter Health, with you for life.
Larry, have you ever been to Auburn Drug Company?
Yeah, that's the one with the marble soda fountain at 815 Lincoln Way.
Yeah, right there in front they have the marble fountain, and in back is an independently owned pharmacy right here in Auburn.
And that thing has been around for a long time.
Since the 1800s. They are so great because they actually fill your prescriptions when you ask them to, unlike the chain drug stores that make you wait.
You know, and waiting there wouldn't be a big crime because, heck, you could always go to the soda fountain. That's Auburn Drug Company at 815 Lincoln Way in downtown Auburn. Give them a call at 885-6524.
Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaught and Larry Finney.
Thank you for joining us, Congressman McClintock.
It's again my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you on the Medically Speaking radio show right here in Auburn on K-High, the voice of the foothills. Larry and I have been talking a little bit in previous shows about the healthcare debate and what's going on in Washington. And, of course, we're kind of counting on you as our representative to let us know and to be our voice there. What's the latest right now that you've been involved with?
Well, the Democrats are trying to round up the votes for this plan for the government to take over our health care system, and at the moment they don't seem to have the votes even within their own caucus. It basically comes down to two completely different approaches. One is the government takeover of our health care system, which I am afraid is going to bring all of the efficiency of FEMA and all of the courtesy of the IRS to our doctors' offices, and a different approach, which is to bring within the reach of every American a basic health plan that they can select according to their own best needs, that they can own regardless of who their employer is, and that they can change if it fails to meet their needs. Those are two completely different approaches. I favor that second approach, the idea that through the tax system, through the same tax credits and tax benefits that we currently give to corporations to provide health care for their employees, that we should be using for those employees directly so that they can buy their own plans.
Congressman McClintock, I was wondering what you thought of this, the prognosis for 3200. This is the current bill. Nancy Pelosi was quoted earlier this week as saying that when I take this bill to the floor, it will win, we will move forward, and this will happen. Do you share her enthusiasm or optimism?
Well, I decided a long time ago that if I was going to try to make a living reading minds or telling fortunes, I would starve to death. So I'm afraid I can't make predictions like that. I do know that the public is becoming extremely concerned about this proposed takeover of the healthcare system by our government.
And I understand that the hang-up here is with the Blue Dog Democrats. Could you kind of explain to our listeners who those are?
Well, the Blue Dog Democrats are essentially a moderate Democrats who don't share the same socialistic philosophy that we see from the president and the Speaker of the House.
And so they've been holding up a little bit. And in fact, we just this week had something happen in Senate Finance Committee with that group of six. Supposedly, there's actually an agreement to take out the public plan and also to not require some larger employers to provide health insurance. Is that what just happened?
That's my understanding. Again, that's going over in the Senate, but that's what I've been told as well.
And so as far as the equivalent in the House, nothing like that has occurred yet.
Well, Pelosi very much wants to insinuate the government into our health care. And the government option plan is their way to do so. What they will do is to make private health insurance prohibitively expensive. As you know, one of the proposals is to tax your current health benefits as if they were income, and then use those tax subsidies on a government plan that will then act to undercut the private plans. The result will be to crowd out private health insurance, and they're very explicit in the current draft of H.R. 3200. Quite explicit that within 5 years, every health plan has got to meet their criteria, which is essentially to wipe out private health insurance.
You know, that sounds like an extreme response to having a public option to the plan to say that it's going to wipe out private insurance.
But they're very explicit in the legislation that within 5 years, all private insurance must meet all of their criteria, or it is banned. And again, we've seen this time and again when the government enters into a market like that, it produces huge cost overruns that it then must subsidize through an infusion of taxes. And in this case, the Congressional Budget Office is predicting a mind-numbing figure of $1.6 trillion over the next 10 years. I mean, the very notion that the same government that pioneered $500 hammers and $1,000 toilet seats is somehow going to keep our health care costs down is absurd on its face. When the Medicare program was introduced in the 1960s, they predicted costs by the 1990s that ended up being wrong by a factor of 10. And the fact that the Congressional Budget Office is already predicting massive cost overruns in this system is not encouraging for the future financing of this system. Again, we see this in every country and, for that matter, in every state. Now, don't forget a number of states that have tried to go down this road. Tennessee with its 10 care plan, Massachusetts with the plan that Mitt Romney imposed, and they all follow a very predictable pattern. Massive cost overruns, followed by the rationing of care by the bureaucracies. We know, for example, in Canada and Britain, because we have, many thousands of Canadians and Britons coming to America in order to escape those systems and to get decent health care in America, that they're placed on long waiting lists that are sometimes ultimately life-threatening, or they're denied care entirely. For example, there's an age limit for dialysis in Canada. That's not the kind of system I want to see brought to America.
Yeah, without some kind of, now I'm not saying that we want to limit the age of people getting dialysis necessarily, but without some kind of limitation, the costs going the way they are, it's unsustainable, and we hear that word a lot.
There's no question about that, but we have to then determine what is driving those costs.
Yes, and I don't
massive
think government
litigation. Litigation is driving those costs, and there is nothing addressing litigation in this proposal.
Right.
The whole notion of a third party payer, where consumers are simply shielded from the costs of the care, is a big problem. That's why putting patients back in charge of their plans as consumers through a tax credit so that it will be within their financial reach is a very, very important factor in containing costs. Again, so many of these plans are practicing what they call defensive medicine. They will order an unnecessary battery of tests to protect themselves from litigation, and since somebody else is picking up the tab, nobody complains. And that, I think, is the single biggest cost driver in the system, and again, completely unaddressed by this plan.
I'd like to venture now into some alternatives. You are a co-sponsor of a bill, H.R. 2520, Congressman McClintock, mm-hmm. Some of the key provisions of which would give either a tax credit or vouchers for those to pay for their insurance. Could you kind of expound upon that?
Well, again, the whole idea is to take the same tax benefits we currently give to corporations to provide health care for their employees and provide those same benefits to the employees themselves so that they can go out into the market and choose a plan that best meets their own needs and that they can own so that they don't need to worry about losing their job and losing their health insurance. If the insurance plan fails to meet their needs, that they have the full freedom to change to another plan that's more responsive to those needs. That's freedom of choice. And it's interesting. I got into a debate with the lead Democrat on this subject when we were marking up the bill in the House Labor and Education Committee meeting the other day. In fact, I've got that exchange on my website, mcclintock.house.gov, where the Democrats admit that this plan will cost about half of what the Obama plan would cost and would bring within the reach of every family that basic health plan. And by the way, not only half of what they're planning to spend on Obamacare, it's 8%, less than 8%, 7.6% of the cost of the stimulus bill that they passed back in February that's failed to stimulate anything except government. For 7.6% of the cost of that bill, we could bring within the reach of every family a basic health plan, and yet that's the plan that the Democrats are rejecting because they want the government to control these policies. They don't want consumers back in the driver's seat.
And how would H.R. 2520 be financed?
It would be financed by a revenue stream that we currently use for the range of health care that is currently there. In other words, as more and more people are brought onto the health care roles, you have fewer and fewer demands on the bureaucracy.
So spreading out the risk over a larger group.
Exactly.
Now, it involves tax credits, as I understand. The tax credit would be something on the order of $2,300 for each adult and $1,700 for each child to a maximum of say, $5,700. And this would be a refundable tax credit similar to the only one I can think of is the earned income credit.
It'd be like a voucher, right?
Yeah. So if you had
no tax liability, you'd be entitled to the full amount of the what amounts to a voucher.
Right, and therefore the holder of these vouchers would be free to spend it on whichever health plan they desire.
Correct.
I would love to see that with portability of health care. You know, right now in my practice here in Auburn, we lost 3 patients to the Auburn Recreation District deciding that they could no longer provide choice to their employees and sent them all to Kaiser down the hill.
That's the problem with a third payer. I mean, if your employer chose your grocery store for you, my guess is it probably wouldn't be to your liking. It's important for people to have their own health care restored to their own control. And by the way, I get a lot of complaints from doctors dealing with various highly bureaucratized health insurance systems that are chosen by employers for their employees. And they can't drop the insurance without losing those patients.
Yes.
If the patient owned their own health care plan, and that plan was the doctor simply couldn't work with that insurance plan anymore because of bureaucratic costs or whatever, the next time the patient came in, it would be as simple as saying, "Well, you know, Mrs. Jones, we've dropped Plan A, but if you just sign this paperwork, we'll sign you up right now for Plan B," and the transfer can be undertaken that simply.
We'd like to see that. Would you be able to state?
So not only would patients be able to fire their plans, but doctors would be able to fire plans that were not being responsive.
Let me get back to that. Would we be able to take a break right now and talk to you after our commercial break?
Sure, you bet.
Okay. We'll be right back with Congressman Tom McClintock talking out of his office in Washington, D.C. with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Few things in life are harder than thinking about serious illness or the death of someone you love. Research confirms that Americans want the basic services that hospice provides. Care at home or in a home-like setting. Treatment that preserves a sense of dignity and respect. Emotional and spiritual support for patients and for their families, and effective pain management. Hospice helps patients and their families deal with end-of-life challenges in a life-affirming, compassionate way that brings dignity, hope, and love to every day of life. This message of love and caring is the focus of hospice care. This message is brought to you by Sutter Auburn Faith Hospice. We can be reached at 886-6650 or click on the link for Sutter Auburn Faith Hospice on the Medically Speaking Radio website.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I want to tell you about my dentist, Rodney Kihara. His office is located right in town at High Street and Auburn Folsom Road. His staff is pleasant. They smile when you walk in, and you know who they are because they're there every time. We're talking about Flo, Cheryl, and Judy. Their pleasant faces welcome you into the office and let you know that you're in the right spot, a comfortable place to go to the dentist. Call Dr. Kihara's office at 888-1966. That's 888-1966.
The doctor would say, don't stick anything in your ear. Unless, of course, it's medically speaking. On K-High, the voice of the foothills. Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
We're back with Congressman Tom McClintock speaking to us from Washington, D.C. Just before the break, we were talking about portability of health care and the ability for the patient to fire a system that they aren't pleased with, to be able to keep a doctor they are pleased with. Could you recap that just briefly?
Well, again, once you own your own health plan and can choose your own health plan and can change your own health plan, well, then you have not only the ability to hold that health plan accountable. If they keep you waiting in the waiting room too long, you can fire the plan. If they don't provide the doctor that you wish, you can fire that plan and pick up another plan that does include that doctor. And if the doctor decides to change plans, you can change plans right along with the doctor. Again, that's freedom of choice. And that comes when the patient, again, controls his own health plan. And that can be done by providing a refundable tax credit that would bring within the reach of every family on a sliding income scale a basic health plan that they could choose.
I'd like to make that a little more real for the listeners as far as what's going on in my practice. I would love to be able to, if I don't like a plan, don't like its reimbursement, or don't like the way it yanks the patients around, not letting them have specific services they want, I would love to be able to just simply say, I'm no longer going to support this plan and keep the patients. But if I do that now, I lose those patients because they have no other way to pay for an alternate plan. Or if they have pre-existing conditions, nobody's going to take them.
Well, and again, with pre-existing conditions, we deal with that by providing the same kind of assigned risk pool that we currently use with automobile insurance. It works very well. In fact, a number of states are already employing such a system.
Could you imagine employer-sponsored automobile insurance?
Or as I said, an employer choosing your grocery store for you. You know, every day I get letters from folks saying, you know, my health plan dropped this, my health plan dropped that. You got to pass a law and force them to provide it. Mm-hmm. I have never gotten a letter from anybody saying my grocery store stopped carrying Wheaties last week, and we need a bill to require every grocery store to stock Wheaties.
Right. Don't we have a right to Wheaties? We have a right to health care. We should have a right to auto insurance. We have a right to have our mortgages paid for us. Oh wait, we've had that.
The point is, who's making the selection? Why don't I get the complaints about grocery stores? Because it's a lot easier to go to another grocery store that does carry Wheaties. In fact, usually you don't even have to do that. You just complain to the manager, and the next week Wheaties is back on the shelf because they know if they don't do that, they're going to lose customers. That's what happens when the consumer is in charge of their own choices. We have taken that out of health care over the past 40 years. We've got to put it back. And that's why the Republican alternative that provides the financial means so that every family can choose a basic health plan makes so much sense to me.
So the Republican alternative, which is termed H.R. 2520, does it have a simpler name? Since the patient, what is the official name for that one?
Boy, I don't know off the top of my head. It is a patient choice act. I don't know what the official title is.
The Patient's Choice Act. Good. Your recollection is correct. What is the current status of that?
It's languishing in committee, and it will stay there until we are able to convince a majority of the House that this is a superior system.
Is there a way our listeners can help do that?
By all means, get up to speed on it. We've got a lot of information on my website at mcclintock.house.gov, or you can go to the House Republican Conference at gop.gov and pull the information there, and then start talking about it. Write letters to the editor, call into talk shows, write blogs, make postings on Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and all the other ways we have to communicate. You know, the debate that's going on inside the U.S. Capitol right now is merely a reflection of a much larger debate that's going on outside of the Capitol in communities across the country. So get informed and then jump into that debate. Again, we're seeing, I think, significant progress in the fact that Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama and Harry Reid, despite all of their arm twisting, have not been able to assemble the votes within their own caucuses for the government takeover of our health care system. They're meeting resistance among their fellow Democrats. So this is the time to weigh in with alternatives.
Yeah, I think the phenomena they're running into with the blue dogs is that the so-called blue dog Democrats are actually voting their districts rather than towing the mere party line.
I think that's true. And from that, hopefully we can get a bipartisan agreement on a plan that keeps the bureaucrats out of our health care system and puts patients back in charge. I mean, again, we already do that for employers. We already provide them with a whole host of tax credits and incentives to buy health insurance for their employees. Why don't we provide the same tax credits and benefits to those employees themselves so that they can go out and get a health plan that they can control themselves, not their employer, but that they can control?
And we'd want to see that.
Well, it just, you know, it... we all know from our own observations over many years that a hallmark of bureaucracies are long waiting lines and long waiting lists, whether it's the post office or the DMV. That's what you encounter with a bureaucracy. That's just the way they behave. A long waiting list at the DMV is an annoyance. A long waiting list to get cancer surgery can be downright fatal. And putting the same bureaucracies that run our DMV and our post office in charge of our health care is a fatal mistake. And again, we've watched that play out in other countries like Canada and Britain, where long waiting lists to get necessary health care has been a source of never-ending nightmares. And we see that in other states that have attempted the same thing. And again, Tennessee and Massachusetts are two cases in point. They did not contain their health care costs. Quite the contrary, their health care costs went through the roof. At the same time, they couldn't finance it. So the only recourse then was to ration care. And you know, why would we want to repeat a system that has failed every time it's been used?
Congressman McClintock, a colleague of mine whimsically suggested to me yesterday, we were talking about health care at work, and he said, I wonder if we could find an area, a state, someplace isolated, and actually run an experiment. Do the voucher system in, at the risk of insulting a state or picking, let's just say North Dakota, and actually just run this experiment and see how it goes before jumping in with both feet. And if it succeeds, then, you know, we may adopt it nationwide. If not, then abandon it as a failed experiment.
Well, you know, I actually proposed doing that in California as a substitute to the highly bureaucratized children's health care plan that was ultimately adopted. I proposed the same kind of approach, a prepaid refundable tax credit on a sliding income scale. I submitted that to the Legislative Analyst's Office, and their opinion was that we could provide far broader coverage at far lower cost than the highly bureaucratized system that was ultimately adopted. And again, as we've seen, one cost overrun after another.
Was the analyst's opinion published, or was that just a private discussion?
That was a verbal analysis that they gave. There wasn't time to get a formal one during the deliberations, but... The Democrats themselves admitted, and again, I've got that exchange on my website at mcclintock.house.gov. Democrats admitted that prepaid refundable tax credit, again, to bring within the reach of every family a health plan that they would own and control, would cost about half of what Obama and Pelosi are proposing, and only about 7.6% of what they just spent on the stimulus that hasn't worked.
I had another thought on savings, and maybe you've come across something about this. It looks like through the NIH, about $40 billion a year is spent on research. And in reading the journals, we can see that there's a lot of garbage research, people publishing just for the purpose of publishing so they can keep their academic positions and contributing absolutely nothing to medical knowledge. Is there any kind of a movement to take some of those dollars and apply them to the actual delivery of the health care they're researching?
Well, there ought to. Again, the bureaucratized systems we have are extremely expensive. And much of that is not going to health care. It's going to the bureaucracies themselves. By putting patients back in charge, by restoring to them the financial means of purchasing basic plans, a lot of the bureaucratic costs can be eliminated. And at the same time, you're signaling to the marketplace to go out and do effective research, because you now have additional demand for those medical breakthroughs.
Okay. And what was the web address again for people to get more information that you have?
Well, mcclintock.house.gov is my website where I publish all of my material. And again, it's a very interesting exchange in the Education and Labor Committee the other day where, again, the Democrats admitted that the prepaid refundable tax credit to provide the means for every American to afford a health plan costs about half of what they're proposing. It was a very interesting exchange. The details of the Republican plan can be found at GOP.gov, and that's the House Republican Conference.
Okay. We thank you for being a guest on our show this week. We consider a privilege and a pleasure to have you speaking about what's going on in the House and in Washington, D.C. right now. We really do want to help you get these kind of changes put into the health care debate so that we don't have a government-run system, that we don't have the public component to it, and that people can have choice. We hope to have you again on our show in the future. Do you think we might be able to make that happen?
Well, I'll look forward to that anytime.
We'd love to do it. Thank you for joining us, Congressman McClintock.
Thanks for having me.
If you would like to speak to our hosts about today's topics, please call 530-885-3565. That's 530-885-3565. We will return to Medically Speaking with Dr. Vaughn and Larry Finney after these messages on K-High, the voice of the foothills.
Do you find yourself overspending, overeating, or in unhealthy relationships? Is your anger out of control, or do you struggle with drugs and alcohol? Are you tired of just trying harder to deal with your struggles? If you answered yes to any of these questions, there's help available. Celebrate Recovery is an international ministry that meets locally at Parkside Church, 3885 Richardson Drive, Auburn. Meetings are held every Friday night from 6 to 9:15 p.m. All areas of recovery are welcome. Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered, 12-step recovery program that offers real and lasting change. Contact Sheila Dobbin at 823-9911. That's 823-9911. For a listing of Celebrate Recovery locations, go to CelebrateRecovery.com. We invite you to join us at Parkside as we celebrate recovery.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I wanted to let you know a little bit about our practice at the Auburn Medical Group. The physician, nurses, and front desk personnel all approach the patient, asking themselves the question, how would I want to be treated if I was in the patient's shoes? Listen to what one of our patients has to say about her experience at the Auburn Medical Group.
My name is Susie Brown. I just want to sincerely thank that group of people for being there for me in some emergency situations. They are very efficient. Their staff, including their receptionist, even when you call her, she's got sympathy and compassion for you. And when you're ill, that's what you need. The nurses, the nurse staff is wonderful, and Dr. Vaughn listens to everything you say, and they just get on things. They do not let anything lag.
If you need a doctor, call us at 886-8630 or look at our website at auburnmedicalgroup.com.
Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
Now, as to follow up on what the congressman was saying as far as not wanting to have this public side to the health plan, which currently it looks like that's what the House plan is. It just made it through the committee this week. We have Dr. Robert here. Before we jump into the talk about that, though, I need to do two things. I need to introduce you as far as what your background is and how we know each other.
Alrighty.
And then before we do that, I need to give credit to auburnoffice.com for providing us our video streaming for this week, because they provided the computer that's giving us the streaming video. For all you people who are watching, let's see, how many of them are watching? For you seven viewers out there, auburnoffice.com provided this for you.
But one of those viewers is us, it looks like.
Okay. For those six viewers out there,
well, Auburn Office. The rest of them are my family, I'm sorry.
Oh, did you tell them too?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I did.
Okay. And then the other thing we needed to tell, if you looked at the show notes, you'll see links to the congressman's website, also to the Senate and the White House, auburnoffice.com, who is nice enough to provide us with this streaming video for this week. And you'll see a picture of the hat that I'm wearing, the Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital hat, which is also available if you don't want the baseball tickets and you know the answer to the secret word. You can call in for that. Also, if you want to call in and speak with our people here, both Larry and the doctors, you can call in at 885-3565. Now, Dr. Roberry,
We started out in medical school together. We were in the same class at St. Louis University School of Medicine. We both started in 1992.
Oh my gosh, it's been that long, huh?
And but we didn't graduate in the same class.
Well, it took me a while.
Explain to us why we are not both from the class of 96.
Well, I spent a year after my second year in medical school studying just pathology. I did what was called a post-sophomore fellowship in pathology. And after graduating, I did a residency in pathology and laboratory medicine at University of California, San Francisco. So I had pathology in my blood, I guess, early on in medical school. And because of that fellowship, I graduated a year later than Mark did.
Okay, so that's why we're all here now, practicing medicine in the Auburn area. And you do practice actually out of, sometimes, but not always, out of Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital. And what other hospitals are you sometimes working out of?
Well, right now I am medical director of the laboratory at Sutter Roseville Hospital, and I used to come up here and provide vacation coverage at Sutter Auburn, and I still provide call coverage on the weeks that I'm on call, so I'm up here occasionally.
Okay, and that's why we ran into each other at the hospital. I said, hey, that is Dr. Ron Roberry from St. Louis University School of Medicine. Okay, we wanted to talk about your experience with government having a hand in healthcare, because you are a physician, and you were able to live in a country that had socialized medicine. Tell us a little bit about your experience. And was it Sweden?
Yes, it
in
was.
In Sweden.
It was a few years ago, before I went to medical school, before I became a physician. I lived in Sweden for a couple of years and loved the country. As you probably know, it is covered with snow and ice 9/10 out of the year. And one of the more socialized countries in the Western, I guess you'd say, Western world. Part of this whole socialized process is the socialized aspect of medicine. Now, as Congressman McClintock pointed out, when you have the government running health care, you can expect, I guess, all of the niceties of the DMV and all the efficiency of the DMV.
He had FEMA in there somewhere, too.
Yeah, FEMA. It's true.
Rapid response of FEMA.
Yeah, or non-response. Well, that all applies to medicine when the government is running your health care. They lack the efficiency, the motivation to be efficient, and present company excluded, medicine tends, at least in the United States, tends to draw the best and the brightest, whereas in other countries...
You're excluding us?
Well, I didn't want to come across as one of those arrogant physicians. but in other countries, you tend to just... It tends to be viewed as just another job, and you don't necessarily get the well-motivated, best and brightest that you see here, and you get the health care that you might expect to go along with that. I myself, fortunately, did not personally partake of the health care. I managed to avoid running into trains or trains running into me, but I had friends and acquaintances who did spend some time taking part in their system. And I think the countrymen here in the United States would be sorely disappointed with the type of care that they got. Congressman McClintock alluded to the fact that we would have to expect some rationing of health care, and that really comes into all aspects of health care. And in Sweden, the lengths of stay for hospital patients were much shorter than you would expect here. The type of care that you would get, MRIs and PET scans and things like that, were severely limited relative to what you would expect here in the United States. And it goes on down. You could say nursing to patient ratios were very different than the typical hospital in the United States. And the personal care that you get here, you just wouldn't get there because there aren't the money to support that.
Because you have an interest in it, since you've been to Sweden, have you looked at any patient outcome statistics that compare the two systems?
Well, it's not specifically, and okay. You have to remember that this was before I had specifically entered the health profession, so it was more of a layman's view of what I saw, but I think that's probably in some respects better because it's what you would expect as a individual, not a physician, what you would actually experience.
Okay. Now, also, in addition to that, you see something else as far as expense in healthcare being... It's director, right?
Yeah.
Director of the lab. You see these tests which are done and ordered daily that are coming across your workspace that are very expensive, hundreds if not thousands of dollars. And in your opinion, many of them are not helpful for patients?
Well, okay, first off, I should say, as medical director of the laboratory, pathology is sort of a two-branched type of medicine. Most pathologists spend most of their day just looking at tissue samples and practicing what we call anatomic pathology.
Looking in a microscope?
Yeah, exactly. But part of what most of us do, we have done a second residency in laboratory medicine, and that's overseeing all the tests and studies that are run through the lab. And so I see kind of two parts of medicine, the pathology aspect and the laboratory medicine aspect. Now, there are a gazillion different tests that we do in the lab, and many of them are very run-of-the-mill, and they're not expensive, and we can do them very efficiently. But there are a lot of newer tests, particularly in the pathology aspect, are part of medicine that are just coming into the fore, and they're based on new and quite expensive technologies, and we don't really know what to do with the results. Now, when we order tests, and it's not always the pathologist that's ordering the test, sometimes it's the clinician, and we just process the tissue for them. You get two types of tests ordered. Some are purely defensive, and we do the test because we can and because we have to, and if we don't do them, we're accused of not being thorough, when in fact, in the end, it doesn't really change the treatment for the patient, the outcome of the patient. And then there are other tests where we're really just pushing the envelope of medical technology. And we can do these tests, typically gene rearrangement assays, things like that, that may provide some prognostic help for the patient and their treating physician, but it's all really in its infancy. These tests are very expensive. They run $4,000 plus or minus $5,000, and we don't really know what to do with the results most of the time because they're so new.
Are these covered by insurances and Medicare?
Most of them aren't, actually. Some insurance plans will cover them. Many of them won't, and so the patient is going to be on the hook for a large part of that bill, if not all of it.
And it makes little, if any, difference in the treatment plan. And you're talking mostly about, correct me if I'm wrong, you're talking about a person who has a cancer most of the time.
Correct.
They
correct.
Have it removed surgically. The cancer itself is what you're analyzing and studying and looking at under a microscope and running DNA tests on.
Exactly.
And then coming up with ways of characterizing this particular cancer. Yes, we know that it's a small cell carcinoma of the lung.
Right, right.
Now we're going to take it and get even more specific as to what kind of small cell.
Well, exactly. What we're looking at is rearrangements in the DNA of that particular tumor. Things that will say, well, this tumor is more likely to invade a vessel, or this tumor is more likely to metastasize to a lymph node. And this is all based on statistics, and so we know, okay, 5% of the people that have this tumor will have a metastasis sometimes in the next 5 years.
Metastasis being the spreading of the tumor in the body.
Right. Okay. And there are other types of assays that will also suggest whether this tumor might be susceptible to a particular type of chemotherapy. And so they gather all this information about all these DNA rearrangements and mutations and try to see, just a guess, prognostically what's going to happen in the future for this patient and what types of chemotherapy may or may not work in this particular patient. And this is all irregardless of whether those chemotherapies are even going to be offered or going to be available. And so a lot of these studies, we do them because we can and we're asked to, but we don't really know what we're going to do with the results once we get them.
Is there a body of people that are trying to get an awareness of the futility of spending this money that you're aware of? Voices that are out there saying maybe we shouldn't be doing quite all these tests as often as we are.
Well, there's always those that are trying to put the brakes on the application of technology. And of course, a lot of the companies that are producing these tests are trying to accelerate the use of the tests. And realistically speaking, we don't know long-term how helpful or unhelpful these tests are going to be because they're still in their infancy. I'd say the insurance companies are the ones that want to put the brakes on because they're often the ones asked to foot the bill.
Okay.
And, that's kind of where we're at.
Okay. We appreciate having you on the show, Dr. Roberry of DPMG, right here in the Sacramento area, and even practicing in the Sutter Hospitals in Roseville and Auburn. And of course, we always want to mention our sponsors, Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, Sutter Auburn Hospice, and the Auburn Medical Group. This week's show, we want to give special credit to auburnoffice.com, a place to go to look for healthcare insurance. If you're not pleased with the healthcare insurance, please go to auburnoffice.com. And even if you are pleased, look and see if you can find something better at auburnoffice.com. Next week, we have a great show on the subject of fibromyalgia with Dr. Lambert from Stanford University speaking with us on that subject. We encourage anybody who's either concerned about that or has questions about it, go ahead and listen in. We will not be taking questions next week, though. Some doctors we like to take questions with, other ones we don't.
Covering the foothills for over 50 years.
Over 50 years.
We are the voice of the foothills. KAHI, Auburn,
Grass Valley,
Placerville. KHI's Cruising Garage is available 24/7 on our free podcast at KHI.com. We are the voice of the foothills. AM 950, KAHI, Auburn, Lincoln, Rockland. Here in Auburn, it's all about Placer High School football. That's why you can now find the Hillman Football Fall Schedule, a blog by Coach Joy Montoya, and more information on the KHI.com website. You'll find the Placer High link on our homepage.